Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today I'm going to be talking on the topic of pregnancy and birth.
My name is Lisa, mom of six and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
Now, if you missed my announcement over on Instagram and YouTube, I am expecting our seventh child later this year, so the end of October, which will be almost exactly 2 years younger than my sixth child, Daniel, who is now 19 months-ish, 20 months? Oh my goodness, this is what happens when you have six kids. He will be two in October. So I get a lot of requests for sharing certain things all the time, whether I'm pregnant or not, about birth and the Bradley method and pregnancy. And right now felt like a fitting time to tackle a lot of those questions just because I am 20 weeks pregnant with my seventh child. So I have quite a bit of experience and a lot of it is fresh. So I'm gonna go here into my Instagram where I ask these questions. Lots of questions about names, which this is not really pregnancy or birth related, but we really don't talk much about names. We're kind of bad about that. I mean, we talk a little bit about names, but we just wait until the baby is born really to select a name. At least for the last four kids, that's what we've done. We throw some ideas around, but I will say that with the last three, I'm pretty sure we picked names on all three of them that we didn't really talk about the entire pregnancy. I definitely don't know that. And then I also got asked a lot if we're finding out the gender. And we are not. We found out with our first two kids, and then these other five, we did not find out, and then I'm obviously not gonna find out this time as well. I really love doing that. It, to me, is a really motivating thing for labor because we do have home births, which again, I have a lot of questions about that, so I'll get into that, but it's motivating to me to get through labor, which it always is. You get a sweet baby at the end of it. But there's that extra push of, I finally get to find out what I'm having. So whenever things get a little bit rough, there's that to be excited about. It's like all the excitement of the 20-week ultrasound and getting the baby all at one time. As far as planning, because people ask me about that too, like with not knowing the gender, how do you plan? What are your baby essentials? I did do a baby essentials video back whenever I was pregnant with Micah, our fifth. I got asked on Instagram if my essentials have changed. I have so few things that I need for a baby that I don't really feel the need to prepare. I pretty much need a wrap. So whether it's a woven, I really use my woven wrap more often with Daniel, or a Moby wrap or a Sally baby wrap. I need that for sure. I already have them, so those are good to go. I need maybe a couple of onesies. I get a few zippered sleepers for like after the first couple days, because the first 3 or 4 days I just lay them on me skin to skin just with a diaper on. So a pack of newborn diapers and that's it. And then after that I need a few sleepers. I don't even use a bassinet. I don't even have one. I have no intention of getting one. Before I had Micah, I ended up picking up one of those Mamaroo swings, and he actually sat in it some, which was so weird because all my other babies did exclusively the wrap. They couldn't be put down until about age 6 months. And so I thought with Daniel, this is the key. Babies can, you can put them down a little bit and they won't cry if as long as you have that Mamaroo. Well, Daniel didn't care about it at all. So it ended up collecting dust. I handed it to my sister for a while because she had a baby in November. It collected dust at her house. It's back at my house. Whether or not it comes up from the basement, or I believe it's out in the barn, is yet to be seen. Most likely, that baby will live in my wrap, just like all the babies before Micah, and Micah even mostly lived in the wrap, but he let me put him down on occasion, and Daniel, this one will just be living in the wrap. So I need a wrap. I'm gonna probably get maybe like 5 0-3 month zippered sleepers. Most of my babies wore the 0-3 rather than the newborn. Maybe I'll get a few newborn, but all of my last four kids could not fit in newborn. I'm not gonna be doing cloth diapers this time. I know I'll get asked a lot about that. I was very into cloth diapers with my first four kids, one of those people that never used disposables for any occasion ever. I am a full-blown disposable user at this point. So it is just one of those things where as life gets more and more busy with so many kids, it's the first thing to go. So that is something that I don't need. I mean, honestly, I can't think of anything else. I remember this with Daniel and Micah. Whenever you start to get towards that 40-week mark, people say, are you all ready? And I look at them like, what am I supposed to get again? Because I really don't think I need anything. I also did a lot of swaddle blankets with all of my first five kids. But with Daniel, my midwife actually told me that when you co-sleep, you shouldn't swaddle because of their restricted movement. So I would swaddle the baby really tightly and then just lay them in my arm like this and sleep with them. But with Daniel, I even skipped that. So I didn't even use swaddle blankets. So I mean, when I say minimal with what I need for baby, I mean so minimal. I do have a double stroller, but that's not really for a baby. That is for ages 1 through 4-ish. And so I have one, but that's for Daniel and Micah. I have a car seat. Okay, that's an essential, definitely a car seat, but that's about it. Maybe I'm forgetting something, but I really don't think I need anything else. I'll probably put the baby's stuff just in one little corner of a drawer in Micah and Daniel's dresser drawer because that's about all I need. How do your older kids feel about another baby? They are so excited. They're all so excited. Somebody else asked me which kid is the most excited. I would say probably my 10-year-old girl and my 8-year-old boy. My older daughter is also really excited about it, but she is someone who always has her own project she's doing. She's off, you know, upstairs sewing or reading a book or teaching herself to play piano, which she's doing right now. And she's excited, but she's not always in the mix, whereas those two are always right there. If I'm yelling at somebody to get out because I'm trying to record something, it's usually them, and they're both really excited about it. The younger ones don't really know what's going on, but I'm sure that they'll be into it too. Okay, thoughts on prenatals, home birth, ultrasounds. I'll go into some more of the home birth questions because I got a lot of those. As far as prenatals, I normally take the Baby in Me Whole Food Vitamin. It's this one here by Mega Food, if you're watching on the YouTube channel. Now, I will say that I struggled with this one in the first trimester a lot because you have to take four of them a day. I ended up switching to a once daily food-based vitamin. It wasn't really a prenatal for the first trimester because I just couldn't do pills, and so doing four a day was mostly just impossible. I also do take an iron supplement. This is something I struggle with every pregnancy, no matter what. My midwives have always told me to do a tincture and Floradix, and I've tried it all. And if I don't take iron, I go way off the rails with my iron. So at my first prenatal appointment at 12 weeks, I tested at 10.5, which is not terrible, but it's also not good because if you get below a 10, most midwives, including my own, will not do a home birth. It can become really dangerous if you lose a lot of blood. And so I am diligent about taking iron. Now, a lot of times in the first trimester, I don't really worry about it because I know I have a lot of time to build it up and also the pill problem. So I just do it now. Like right now, I take iron every day. I'm currently taking a food-based iron supplement. It is this fermented iron complex by New Chapter. I take two of these a day. Now, if my iron would dip while taking this, I would switch to the just really bad, nasty iron pills because I've had two in the past and it's made my pregnancies so much better. And I've been able to have healthy home births. And so to me, it's always worse to have low iron. And then I also take magnesium. Got questions in here about varicose veins. This has been the ticket. I didn't discover this until my fifth child, maybe my fourth or fifth, I can't remember. Up until then, I had very painful varicose veins and I used some essential oils that definitely helped the pain. But nothing helps like this. So I take 2 teaspoons of this Natural Vitality Calm supplement every night. I don't miss it. and I still have varicose veins that don't look great, but they don't hurt. And so that to me is key. I don't have that moment at the end of the day where my leg is just so painful and throbbing once I started incorporating this. That's pretty much it on the supplements. Now I do take, when I get close to birth, a regimen for group B strep. This is controversial. I've had group B strep with lots of my kids. I'm going to tell you now what I do, but you make your own decision. Listen to your provider. This is something that gets a lot of opinions and fear, and so I'm just gonna tell you what I do. So I have done both. I've done antibiotics, I have not done it, and the way that I do it now is I do a raw garlic, which I just mince up garlic, I swallow it, vitamin C, lots of probiotics. I have a whole regimen for how I'm able to test negative for group B strep, and then it's worked out so far. So that is what I did with the last three, and so I will get really serious about that regimen toward the end of the pregnancy. I also did do it in the first trimester the last three times because I ended up having a test that showed group B strep early in my pregnancy in my urine. Now in this last pregnancy, I actually never had my urine tested. I just did it anyways because I figured with it happening the last three, it probably was. And so I went ahead and did that regimen. Now, when I was with my last midwife, before this one and before that one, so a few midwives ago, she prescribed antibiotics for this. I actually never did that. I always just did this regimen. So that is something that personally I felt comfortable with the risk over the risk of taking the antibiotics. Again, that is your own call, but she had prescribed them in the first trimester and before birth, and with the last several kids, I just avoided both. So that is my story. Those are my supplements that I take based on a lot of research, which I am a researcher. So this is one thing I'd really like to encourage you with any of this stuff. No matter what I recommend with home birth or with how I manage labor, with the supplements and the way that I take care of myself. I'm going to talk about raw milk here in a minute. You need to do your own research. You should feel really comfortable with the decision, whichever way it is. So there's been times in my life whenever I didn't have as much education behind me, and what decision I made during that time was different than maybe some of the decisions I make now after a little bit more experience or maybe just more research, talking to different people, different providers, all that I've collected. I have the decisions I'm now comfortable with that I wasn't 10 years ago. So be your own advocate and definitely research these things, think through these things. I also will put in there that I recommend talking to a lot of people. I do feel like this is a total tangent, but with a lot of things like this, we just talk to one doctor, for example, and do what they say instead of looking into other sources and taking the doctor's opinion along with others and just being your own advocate, educating yourself.
For many women, hormonal imbalances can be a huge problem, and that's why I'm really happy to tell you about today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Now, Happy Mammoth is offering 15% off your order over at happymammoth.com with the code FARMHOUSE. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is a formula that has been shown to support healthy hormone balance. There are 12 natural ingredients that have been shown to work for women at different stages of their lives as they adapt to their body's unique needs. So it works to support hormonal balance, relieve symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, promotes healthy weight loss and curbs carb cravings, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas and hot flashes, and relieves mild mood swings and boosts energy. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media, and a bottle sells every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. They make no compromises when it comes to quality. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, which basically means they'll help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that can happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com with the code farmhouse at checkout. That's happymammoth.com with the code farmhouse. I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse.
Okay. Oh, ultrasounds. I got asked a lot about ultrasounds. I have not done an ultrasound with this pregnancy. I did not do an ultrasound with my last two pregnancies. Right before I had Micah, I did a very quick ultrasound, just like quick check to see where the placenta was. I wasn't comfortable going into home birth without that one. With Daniel, I didn't do that one. With this baby, I haven't decided. So we'll see whether certain symptoms present themselves. I haven't even fully decided if I want to avoid ultrasound 100% in this pregnancy or not, but I can tell you that as of right now, I haven't found the need for one and I haven't had one. There are a few things that I like to do myself just to know that the pregnancy is progressing in the way that it should. So one thing I do is I will feel for the top of my uterus and track that. So around 12 weeks, I could feel it low. And then I felt it in, halfway between my belly button and my pubic bone around 16 weeks. And then right at 20 weeks, it's right at my belly button. And so those types of things help me to know it's progressing as it should. And then now I'm at that happy stage in pregnancy where I can feel movement, which is wonderful because it is weird whenever you don't have any ultrasounds. The first while, you're just going off that you had a positive pregnancy test and not much else, which what I've come to decide over time is that nothing really changes whether I know it or not. It's just for my peace of mind. So sometimes if that's something you can't even sleep unless you've seen the baby or heard the baby, then that would be a time for you when the stress would outweigh any negative thing that could possibly be associated with having an ultrasound. And that's why I say I take it pregnancy by pregnancy and I'm not 100%, I will never do this certain thing. If a certain symptom arises that causes alarm, or if for some reason I'm feeling a little bit stressed or anxious, like something might be wrong, I'd want to check those things. But in some pregnancies, it's felt so much like this is going as it should. I feel the symptoms, I feel my uterus rising, that I don't necessarily even have the desire to check in on something, because checking in on it will give me peace of mind, but it's not going to change anything. And so I've tried to adopt that mindset with the last several. On the home birth, question, are you having a home birth? And if yes, does it scare you? I want to one day, but it scares me living rurally. So on that, there again, if having a home birth scares you, I would not suggest it. I would suggest maybe doing some research, reading some books, talking to other home birth moms, and maybe at some point that amount of research will make you feel like you're more comfortable at home than you would be at the hospital. That might be when you would decide to have a home birth, but I wouldn't go into this decision with fear, because one of the main benefits of having a home birth is that you are having a birth in the environment that you feel most comfortable. Your body can do what it does. You feel in your element. You have just, this is the place where you feel like you can relax and birth the baby. So if that is not how you feel about it, I wouldn't think home birth would be the best option. So my suggestion would be read into several different midwife books and see if you don't get to a place where you feel more comfortable with it. And then if you don't, just seek out a hospital birth, because there's also a lot of things you can do to prep for having a natural birth in the hospital. So I have gone to all three of my sister's hospital births, and then she had her last two at a birthing center. But her husband has not yet been comfortable with having a home birth. And so that, though she desires that, it's not made sense for their family to choose a home birth. And I even have witnessed her having a really nice natural birth in the hospital. So there are things that you can do to prepare for that. But home birth isn't the ultimate goal. A healthy birth is. And so if you feel more comfortable and your husband feels more comfortable and you advocate for yourself and prepare for birth, you can still totally have a great birth at the hospital as well. Okay, lots of questions about differences in pregnancies. What's different about this pregnancy compared to your others? Also, a lot of people asking if pregnancy gets easier, if it gets harder. All of mine have been very similar. I feel nauseated for the first 14 weeks. I feel really great pretty much the rest of the time. I would say that one symptom that I have that does make me relax a little bit more is if I'm on my feet too much throughout the day, I'd say from about 18 weeks on, I will have, just when I sit down, just my whole body will feel like it is sore, like my feet hurt. So I definitely like to sit down a little bit more during pregnancy, but they've all felt pretty much the same. I do have great pregnancies. Other than the morning sickness, the 14-ish weeks where I just feel kind of blah and tired, I really love pregnancy. I feel very well during it. And then births, I asked some people, there is a common misconception, and I got this a lot during my sixth one, where people genuinely think the more you have, that birth, that the baby just slides out and birth is nothing. That is not true. It's the same process of dilating to a 10 and pushing out a baby. Nothing about that really changes. I've definitely heard moms who their eighth birth has been their hardest one. For me so far, I would say my, other than my first one, which I think it's pretty common that your first one is the hardest, and I don't really know if it's, there's an actual biological reason for it, or if it's the naivety going into it, not really preparing, thinking this is gonna be, you know, just a breeze, everybody does it, or if there's something actual there. So my first birth was the hardest, but I did all the things that would have made it hard. I went to the hospital when I was only a 4. They gave me Pitocin to speed it up. They broke my water. They hooked me up. They gave me the epidural at 7. The baby's heart rate was plummeting from all of the different drugs in my system. So then they had to put me over on my side, which made the epidural pool, which meant I felt everything, and I had not prepared one bit. I just assumed this was all gonna be fine. The baby just come out, face up, huge episiotomy. It was just the normal, somewhat normal fiasco of the cascade of interventions, which caused me to do a ton of research into birth from there on. Then the other 5 after that were all non-epidural, natural births, so much better experiences. But other than that first one, my hardest was actually my sixth. He was not in the perfect position, and my midwife could tell that. She's very good at telling exactly where the baby is, and his head was facing to, I believe, the right or left, I don't remember. And so my labor wasn't progressing right, and she was able to get me in all the right position to make that happen. But I've heard from midwives that sometimes the more pregnancies you have, the baby has more room to get into a not as great position, and so it is somewhat common. It is good to know certain techniques. Sorry, I'm out of breath because I just was telling the kids to stay outside while I record. But in Daniel's case, we did the mile circuit, and that put him in just the right position to come out really easily. So once that happened, he came out very easily, but there was 48 hours of contractions, 10 minutes apart, leading up to that, where not a whole lot was happening because of the positioning issue. So it doesn't necessarily get easier. I will say that every birth except my first were all great experiences. They all pretty much were about the same. I didn't have to push that long. I could manage labor pretty well up until transition. I got a lot of questions about pain-free birth, how I deal with the transition. Do I believe in pain-free birth? I do believe in controlled, manageable births where it's something that you can totally get through. It's not pain like breaking an arm. It's active and it's productive and it's supposed to happen. You can accept all of that and have a nice birth. But I will say that I personally have not had a birth that is fully pain-free. Now, I will say that there are women who say they do. I'm sure that they're telling the truth, so I'm sure it's a thing. Six babies in, and I've had births that are great. I look back and say, glad it's over, but it definitely wasn't a traumatic experience. But there was always pain in all of those births, and mostly, like you said, through the transition, lots of people had said they wondered how I cope with it. And it's just a short phase. I guess the way that I cope with it is knowing that whenever that happens, I'm getting really close. My goal for labor is to relax enough through the early part of labor that it's very tolerable. And then during the transition, it's just kind of a get through it type of thing. Someone asks if you have home births, what does the birth certificate process look like? Honestly, I don't remember. I've had the last four at home, if you count my third, who was born in the van, and then three home births. I believe I sent something off right after they were born to get the birth certificate. There was some kind of form. Okay, how do you deal with morning sickness? How do you cook during the first trimester? Honestly, the thing about the first trimester is just to know that it does end. And it feels like when you're going through it, it feels like an eternity, but it really is such a short phase of time. And so that is what I constantly am telling myself through the first trimester. There are some days when I can cook just fine. And then there are some days where I just say, you know, let's just eat like whatever we have, scrambled eggs or just whatever. It's just one of those things that you just get through it. It doesn't have to be perfect. You eat what you can eat. You feed your family what you can feed your family. And usually around 14 weeks, you're going to feel better and you can get right back into taking care of your family. It'll feel like a memory. That's where I am now. It felt like so long going through it. I'm only 20 weeks now, and I actually felt nauseated up through 16 weeks, and it already feels like such a long time ago that I was dealing with that. So just be encouraged that that does happen. Tons and tons and tons of questions.
When it comes to a healthy from scratch kitchen, purified water is a foundational element. From making your very own sourdough starter to baking bread to the water that you're giving your kids, drinking water is important to staying hydrated and healthy. In fact, 60% of our bodies are made of water, and having safe, clean water is the last thing you want to worry about. Unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in its tap water. That's why you've got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing. It removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters and are specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply. PFAS are found in almost 45% of U.S. tap water, and I'm grateful that AquaTrue is certified to remove these contaminants. Its proprietary purification technology is independently tested to remove over 80 of the most harmful contaminants, including chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, nitrate, and many more. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. Today, my listeners receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com, that's AquaTrue.com, and enter the code farmhouse at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use promo code FARMHOUSE. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. Maybe you're not in your dream farmhouse, or your kids get some cake or candy at the grocery store. But when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines or their family group chat just because they're available right now or they take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours, and you can even score same-day appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/farmhouse and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/farmhouse, ZocDoc.com/farmhouse.
The most common question I get asked on here is, do we want more babies? That to me is not a pregnancy question. It really is, but that is not something that I feel like I can answer right now. We never, clearly, I guess if we have 7 children, we aren't huge planners about that area of our lives. So that is something that we just take them kid by kid. Each time that I have a newborn up and through probably like age 1, I can't imagine having another. But then about the time that the fertility returns, it all changes and I feel ready again. So I just can't see that far. Even when I was pregnant with Daniel, I didn't imagine the 7th child. So we're just trusting God and taking it one at a time. So I can't go there right now. Do you have enough bedrooms for all your kids? We're actually going to move our whole entire house around. This is not really due to the baby coming. It was already becoming a thing that I wanted to do. So we have a large dining room and a large living room, and we don't ever use the dining room. We eat right here in this kitchen. We have a massive kitchen, plenty of space to sit. The dining room's across the way. And the living room has doors. So it has sliding pocket doors and it has another door. So it's the perfect bedroom. So we're gonna do that as our bedroom. We're renovating the downstairs bathroom to have a tub in it so that will be like our bathroom. And then the dining room will become a living room, and then upstairs we will then have 4 bedrooms. So we can make this place a 5-bedroom house, which will be just fine no matter how many kids we have. I don't think that, I mean, they're large bedrooms too, except for 2. 2 of them are very large bedrooms. So we'll get creative, we'll figure it out. We definitely have enough space though. Are your children in the room when you deliver? That is not something that personally I like to do. Now I don't have any special stance on it or any opinion about it. It is just not something that I personally feel comfortable with. Now, if my child walks in while I'm birthing, that's fine. I'm just not, I don't know why, but I'm just not super excited about inviting my kids in while I'm actually giving birth. I know a lot of people do. It's probably a wonderful educational opportunity, but I remind myself that they're going to be okay because I never witnessed a birth until my own, and I feel like that is just fine. So it might just be a personality type of thing, but I don't really have any desire to do that. And maybe I'll change my mind one of these days. But so far, I just don't. We have the babies at home, the kids come up right away after and meet the baby. I really don't even like anybody around me during labor, not even Luke, not midwives. Until I'm pushing the baby out, I'm just on my own. And then once the baby is coming, I like Luke and the midwife, that's it. And then after that, my sister comes and my kids come and my mom, and everybody likes to see the baby. Whereas like my sister, she feels comfortable in a whole different way. She needs people there to want to have the baby. That's what makes her feel comfortable and supported. I'm the complete opposite. So it's totally just a personality thing and how you feel best. So I never had a doula. I just don't like it. I feel like I'm able to relax better whenever there's no hype surrounding it. So I like to not even acknowledge that I'm in labor. I like to just in my own head pretend like nothing's happening until something's very clearly happening. That's how I had my third child in the car. But this just helps me to not get too excited and worked up, which helps me to relax. It's just my method. And I got a lot of questions about what I actually do to prepare. So I'm really into the book Natural Childbirth the Bradley Way by, I believe, Susan McCutcheon. Yes, that is her name. Okay. With my first three natural labors, so my second, third, and fourth children, I read the book and practiced the little position that it said and did the exercise where it tells you to basically tense up a part of your face to become aware of that part and then let the tension flow out and then go down through your entire body, acknowledging certain muscle groups, tensing them, feeling what they feel like when they're tense, and then letting the tension go. It's a whole thing where you just practice getting your whole body in this limp status. It is magical for getting through contractions because it allows your body to do what it needs to do and to not fight it. And so much of the pain comes from tensing up. Now, we did not do the actual classes that you pay for with a coach, and I really didn't have Luke do anything, which I know that the Bradley method is called the husband coach method. So I ignored all of those parts. The only thing I took from the book was the position. There's like this particular position and I could do it so easily now because I've practiced it so many times. And then recognizing tension, because relaxing isn't just laying still. It's not that. You could lay still and still be in horrible pain because there's still tension. It is intentionally feeling and releasing the tension. So get that book because it's worth way more than I can really describe to you right here. And then just practice that for maybe 20 weeks on through your pregnancy. If you're, say you're 30 weeks now, you're fine. You have plenty of time. Get the book and just start practicing the relaxation and the whole process. And then when you have a contraction, you throw yourself into this position that you've practiced. You focus on letting out all tension, and it's amazing what a contraction feels like when your body is limp and just peaceful versus whenever you're like tensing up and trying to rock through the pain. So different. Now, with my fifth and sixth kids, I didn't actually end up doing the exercise, but I still feel like I had those Bradley method births because it was just in me. Now, maybe I should do a refresher course. I probably won't get to it, but I still feel like I understand the whole concept, and I felt like with those births, I was able to still do it. If nothing else, going through the Bradley Method book will help you understand the whole process of labor. So instead of focusing on, like with my babies, we never did the dilation checks, not during pregnancy, not during the birth, nothing. Instead, you think about the phases of labor, and the Bradley method walks you through the three phases. There's these signposts they talk about. that you can tell where you are in labor based on how you're feeling. And it's just a really intuitive way of doing it. And I probably won't change my method. People ask me, do you do a water birth? I just do that because that is what works. That whole Bradley method thing, it's worked so well. I've had 5 natural births at this point, and so I'm just not really interested in changing that up. I had questions in here about hypnobirth. Personally, again, I've just never done it. This whole relaxing with the Bradley method has worked so well for me. It's worked well for my sister, and so that is just the method that I personally use. I'm sure there's other great methods, but it's not something that I've tried. I'm just gonna do a couple more. And maybe if I read through these and there's a whole bunch more, maybe I'll just do a second one next week. So I feel like this is getting really lengthy. Okay, do I still do fermented foods and raw milk during pregnancy? So I do. I actually feel like raw milk is more precious to me during pregnancy. The amount of protein that is in it, it just seems like the perfect food to grow a healthy baby. And I focus more on getting enough of it when I'm pregnant than even when I'm not. I got these ideas from the Nourishing Traditions way of eating. And so I totally do still drink raw milk in abundance. And then I still do fermented foods. I still do kefir and sauerkraut and sourdough. I don't really change my diet at all. Now, I do cut down a little bit on the coffee. All through the first trimester, I went down from my 3 shots of espresso a day, which is usually 2 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon, to 1. And then lately, I've gone back up to 2. But I won't do any more than that. So I have 1 shot of espresso in the morning and then 1 in the afternoon. And in my perfect world, I wouldn't do that. But I just love, I have it right here, my iced raw milk, a little bit of maple syrup, an espresso shot in the afternoon. It's such a treat. And so I didn't really get back on it because of being tired as much as just like, I feel like my day, it just has these little moments throughout the day where I can get a little treat. And one of them is right when the kids go down for a nap and I get to work on either my podcast or my blog and get this little shot of espresso. So I still do it. Not saying that that's a recommendation or a thing that would be a good idea. One more, and then I probably will do a part 2. Okay, so on the breastfeeding thing, I got asked this a lot. Do I still nurse Daniel? And did I lose my milk supply? So I did lose my milk supply. With each baby that I have that's about 2 years apart, which is most of them, I get pregnant somewhere around, 13 to 20 months. And at that time, I'm always still nursing. And then after nursing for about 20 weeks into the pregnancy with Daniel, it was actually even a little bit earlier than that. At some point, the baby just loses interest and my milk supply just totally dries up. So I usually do always get pregnant while nursing, and then somewhere in the first or second trimester, I do just completely lose my milk supply. Now, a lot of people do not. Personally, I always do. I always have these dreams that I'm gonna tandem nurse the kids. My sister always does that, but my kids just self-wean, and I think it is just because I completely lose my supply. So Daniel did wean about 6 weeks ago. So that is just how it works for me. I'm glad that my body does not get pregnant before that time so that I don't have to worry about supplementing. I got also asked if I've ever used formula, and thankfully I've been so blessed to not ever have any issues with milk supply. So none of my kids have ever had formula. They've been able to nurse at least till 1, and most of them well beyond 1 until the next baby is coming. In that case, they just move on to food and they're good to go. So that's always worked out for me. The natural spacing with the nursing has always totally worked out, even though my supply does decrease. Okay, so that's all I'll answer for this time. I will definitely pull this back up and do a part 2 because there were so many I didn't get to answer, and I feel like This is a subject I get asked a lot about, and it's nice to have podcast episodes to refer people to. If you have not yet checked out my new site design, I actually, farmhouseonboone.com, just got a whole new look this week. I hired a web designer for the first time. What my goal was with it was to have a site that is easy to navigate so that my old content didn't get buried. With being a blogger now for over 5 years, I have so many articles, and a lot of the ones that I wrote years ago, people don't even know I have because they're just buried. And now there's a way to, it's just all neatly organized and you can get to each thing more easily. So 5 years in, I felt like it was time. So head on over to farmhouseonboone.com, check out the new design, click around, see if you can find something you didn't even know I had a tutorial on, and enjoy. All right, well, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast.